Blog Talk Radio.
Let your hands for Angela.
Angela Butler. Today's interview is Mr. Greg Lassiter. He is the first Black American to own a private jet for transportation for the public. How are you this afternoon, Greg?
I'm good, Angela. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. His company is named Grex Jet.
Grex Jet, G-R-E-X Jet. You can find us at grexjet.net. And we are the first and only African-American to own a private jet company. A lot of African-Americans may have their own private jet, but I have the private jet service. And, you know, 99% of the people in the world would never, ever should be able to afford to ride in a private jet. I cater to the wealthy and not the rich. And there's, you have to understand, people have to understand the difference between the wealthy and the rich, because I'm based out of New York City. So if I was taking, it doesn't matter how many people I have on the plane, I can seat up to 8 people because we have a G5, a G4, and a Astra 1127 and a Lear 35. So if I was to take 4 people just down to D.C., that's $42,000 one way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So basically, you're a millionaire.
Something.
On the way to become a billionaire.
Something like that, I guess.
Yes.
If you want to say that, something like that, yes. But it's not
something
I've been a pilot for like 28 years, and I started out as a hobby, and I turned it to something real. And I encourage any African American or anybody that, seriously, if you can dream, if you can believe, you can only achieve what you can believe. If you think you can do it, make it happen. You know, it's, you know, I've always worked for myself. I've never worked for anybody in my entire life, and I'm 55 years old, going on 56. So, it's, you know, It's a good thing. I like what I do. So it's not really work.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you're one of those people who have a career job company that you love to do, and you get to make money at it. So that makes
Absolutely.
You a triple threat. Triple threat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I said it means you can do 3 different things and enjoy the jet. Being privately owned and flying, so you're a triple threat.
You know what? We also, GrexJet. I have a company called Misguided Productions, which is a movie and theater production company, and I also have a record company called Platinum G Records. And we're opening up a resort in the Caribbean called Grex Resorts International. So we're kind of doing pretty much everything. You know, I'm living my dream. I'm living my dream.
Yes, you are definitely living your dream. So, So it's private jet, so it's not for, like, it's not like Delta where anybody, can go. Okay, nothing like that, okay.
No, because, you know, in order to fly private, most private jets don't fly out of big airports because it's way too expensive. So in New York City, we have this place called Peterborough, which is only 11 minutes outside the city. And all private jets fly there. But it's way too expensive to fly into LaGuardia or JFK or any international airport in the country.
Okay.
So
the 42,000, let me make sure I understand. You're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, that for four people is $42,000?
Just down to D.C.? Doesn't matter how many people. Let's just put it in perspective, okay? Say the G5. Okay, the hourly rate in the G5 is $9,000 an hour. That's how much it costs me. So let me tell you. So you take $9,000 an hour times the number of hours where you're going plus where you're coming back. Even if the people are not coming back, they have to pay for me to come back times a percentage. So let's say we want to go to California nonstop. So I'm charging you $9,000, 9,000 times 10, not plus 30%. Looking at what? 9,000 times 10, 90. You're looking at over $100,000 just to go to California.
Okay, so I know there is a difference between rich and wealthy. A billionaire is wealthy and a millionaire is rich.
Well, no, put it like this. The wealthy signs the rich paycheck. Okay, we're talking wealthy people, like, let's say, what's his name? Jobs, who invented Apple. He was wealthy. Oprah, by the way, Michael Jordan is rich. I'm going to tell you why. Michael Jordan, he has endorsements. He doesn't have old money. See, some people may think he's wealthy. I think he's just rich. What's the guy's name from the other basketball? LeBron James is rich, not wealthy. The guys who give him money, the people who own the team, they're the wealthy people. So there's a distinct difference between being wealthy and being rich.
Yes,
see, rich, you can be rich today and broke tomorrow. Wealthy?
Yes.
Continues. I don't know too many people that have become wealthy and broke. I know a few rich people that hit the lottery. They're rich and spend all their money. So they're not wealthy.
So how long have you had your company? How long have you been in business?
We had just, yesterday, we celebrated our third year in business.
Third year in business, yes.
And it's been a great ride. We don't have to advertise. We never have to advertise. If anybody wants to check us out, you can go to www.gretjet.net or .com. I own it all. So you guys can go check it out there.
Okay. Gretjet.net. Okay.
Yeah. GREX.net.
Okay.
So
how many jets do you have? Because I noticed you didn't say planes,
four.
You said jets.
Yes, there's a difference. It's four. A G500, G400, and an Astra 1125, and a Lear 35. So it's four.
So do you fly the planes yourself since you have been a
Yes, I do. And when you fly in a jet, you have to have a co-pilot. So it's always two people navigating or flying. So I'm a captain, and then my co-captain is the first officer. So yes,
okay.
You can't make a mistake when you go to work. I can't make a mistake.
I understand that. That's great.
You know, everybody saw that movie Sully, where the guy landed the plane in the Hudson River, and nobody died. I don't know if you remember that happening.
Denzel, the actor Denzel Washington.
No, that's flight. That was flight. No, I'm talking about there's a guy. A couple of years ago, a plane took off from LaGuardia in New York, and he was going down the Hudson River. He was going to Charlotte, North Carolina. And a bird flew into the engine, and he had to land the plane in the middle of the river, in the middle of the wintertime. And nobody died. That was one in a trillion chance that that would ever happen. So, yeah, it was interesting. Yeah.
So now that you say you're getting you're starting up a resort,
and,
I'd like to hear more about that.
Pharmacy. It's a full service resort in an island called Mystique, which is off the coast of it's about an hour from Nevis, St. Barts. Full service, people can go and stay, and it's $40,000 a week.
Okay, so it's not timeshare.
No, not timeshare.
Okay, I understand that. So, is it lavish?
Very, $40,000 a week, very lavish.
Okay. So, did you buy it or was it built?
No, we built it ourselves. Yeah, the whole thing, we built it ourselves. Yeah,
okay.
If people go and look at the island of Mystique, it's an amazing place, and it's actually called Mystique.
Okay,
so,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mystique.
So you know, it's called Mystique. Mystique.
Okay. I like that. And you also said you're opening up a studio.
We have a studio. We have a.
You have a studio already?
In New York. It's called Platinum G Records, and we have a film production company called Misguided Productions.
And so, are you taking on clients? Are you accepting clients?
Oh no, we have clients right now. We have about 100 clients already. So
yeah, I'm
let's
saying,
get
but are you
taking on any new clients?
Yes, new clients. Definitely new clients.
No, not really. Because, it's only 24 hours in a day. But everybody thinks I think it's 26 hours in a day. No, it's 24 hours in a day. And I go at it 7 days a week.
Oh, my goodness. 18
hours a day.
18 hours. Oh, gosh. So, besides the co-pilot, do you have anyone else that's helping you?
Oh, yeah.
We
have over 200 people in all my organizations that's working for me.
Enterprises, smart, intelligent. That's what I like to talk about, positive.
Yes.
Afro-Americans who are doing great things. I know a lot of Black people are in the criminal justice system, some kind of way, jail, probation, prison. But it's good to know that there are Black men that are succeeding, have succeeded, and will continue to succeed and have a legacy like you do.
Right.
That's wonderful to know about.
And that's the thing. We, as African Americans, we've kind of lost our way. I also do a political show in New York called 30 Frames a Second, and you can watch it live, and I'll post it on my Facebook. But we as Black people have lost our way. We come from greatness. Given now where we are, especially the country, we first need to take care of our community. Take care of ourselves, take care of our family, then be a part of the community. And everybody, we spend more money on crack than any ethnic group in the world. And we have seemed to lost our way. We seem to buy our kids $200 sneakers. And when we should be buying them a computer and being up in their life and raising our kids. Like when I grew up, you know, it was about family first and community. We seem to have lost that. You know, everybody seems to want to, you know, rap music to me was the worst thing that that ever happened. It's no more than to me slavery, because, you know, the man says, okay, I'm going to give you $1 million and you're going to write some rap songs for me. That's slavery, because you get so, us black people get so excited about the $1 million that we don't own our own stuff. Right there just blows my mind, you know. I think we should get back to, like, the 60s, even though when we were segregated. And don't get me wrong, segregation made us African Americans to rely on each other, because we had to see black doctors, black lawyers. We had to rely on us black people to come together. We seem to have lost that somewhere, because, you know, people think it's cool now to use the N-word. I don't ever use that word. And you can hear it, you know, these youngins running around using, yo, my N. And I try to explain to our young black men and Hispanics that our forefathers before us came along, and that N-word was made up by white people to degrade us. And when you call another black person that, you're being, see, I'm 56 years old, and we were taught never to use that word under no circumstances. I'm 56 years old. And we were taught to never use that word. And today that word is used like you take a shower every day. And that to me is unacceptable, because if these people, the young people, know that some of our forefathers, that was the last word they heard before they were hung. And, you know, we don't, you know, we need to go get our, we need to, black people, we need to go back to our history, you know our true history. And that somehow fell by the wayside.
Yes, I believe that too. I'm in my 40s, 11 years younger than you.
Right.
And when I was going to college, even though I did not complete college, I started in 88.
Right.
1988. There was a mandatory black history class that everyone had to take back then.
Right.
I did not finish at that college, but I did take
right.
that class. Plus,
right.
through watching other people, I was taught through my grandmother, my granddaddy, my mama, my stepdaddy, because in my family, there were my cousins particularly, there were several who could not read. My granddaddy could not read.
Neither could mine. Or write. Neither
See,
could
that's
mine.
What I'm saying. If they would have, the education system is free public education, but somehow it's been all twisted up. A lot of the public schools have been all messed up some kind of way.
Right.
But, you know, free public school back, let's say 50 years ago, was considered a blessing.
Right.
But now,
and see,
it's like
it's,
nobody
see,
really
I think
wants
too.
The children to go to public school. People are homeschooling
but,
the kids and
see,
all kinds of
see,
things.
But my thing is, too, public schools, like, I live in New York City, and New York City has 5 boroughs. So if the lower Manhattan up to 96th Street, east or west, the public school systems, you would not think that there were public schools. Now, when you get above 96th Street, you get into East Harlem, the Bronx, and those places where they're predominantly African-American or Hispanic, and they're not getting the same education that the people in the lower Manhattan is getting. Why? Because, I'm going to tell you why, it's the same system. It's you, the parents, need to be involved. You know, there's no excuse okay, a mother of two kids, single mom of two kids, and she works two jobs, and the kids are home by themselves pretty much. That doesn't give her, still she can't flake her responsibility of being a part of their life. And when it comes to PTA meeting and, you know, getting what you deserve out of this public school system. Like, and like I grew up, I went to high school in, I don't know if you remember this movie that Denzel Washington was in called Remember the Titan. Remember the Titan. I went to that high school then, and it was segregated. They had just segregation, stopped segregation. It was still segregated, and this was in 1974. And Alexandria, Virginia was, it's right outside of D.C., about 10 miles south of D.C., Washington, D.C. It blows my mind that we can't, we somehow we lost our way, and we need to find our way. Instead of buying clothes and shoes for our kids, we need to tell our children, okay, you get our children, you got people like LeBron James and Michael Jordan, and people want to play basketball and want to be professional basketball players, want to be professional rappers, want to be this entertainment. Well, guess what? We have enough of those. We don't have enough scientists. We don't have enough mathematicians. We don't have enough biologists. We don't have enough of those type of jobs. And our kids, we need to encourage our children to be go after those kind of jobs.
More lawyers, more attorneys.
No, you're absolutely
right. On Mother's Day, my brother graduated with his JD, Juris Doctorate, and I was so I'm so proud of him. My other brother, he has 4.0 credits, so I'm real proud of all my brothers and my sisters. They're really smart, hardworking people.
Right. That's good.
I'm really proud of
you. That's awesome.
Yes,
you know.
And I get that about education. Even though I don't have a college diploma,
okay, but,
my mother
but,
always thrifts it.
Right, but you know what, Angela? College education, I encourage education. See,
yes.
I encourage it. But let me explain something to you. Given today, you know, college education, if you need more technical people in the world that know how to do things. Don't get me wrong. College,
yes,
society,
I
have a college education. I'm a very educated person. But let me tell you,
electricians make a lot of money.
Yes, plumbers make a lot of money. Computer technicians make a lot of, computer programmers make a lot of money. And this is the thing people don't understand is that college conditions you. What college gives you discipline. You get up, you go to class, you do the work, and you get a grade, and you acquire the credit, and they give you a diploma. It doesn't give you real-world experience. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, getting a formal education, it's a great thing. I have it. It's a beautiful thing. But you also have to remember, college is not for everybody. So if, like, in New York City, for instance, anywhere else in the country, when you go to the school that's closer to your home, where you live, or your district, in New York, when you get ready to go to high school, you have to apply for a high school that trade that you want. There's no general high school in New York City. You got Aviation High School, which is the suburbs of New York City. Anybody that's interested in aviation, they would go to that high school. You got Culinary High School, where anybody in restaurant service that want to be in the restaurant business or own a restaurant, you go to that high school. So in the 10th grade, between the 9th and 10th grade, you have to apply to get into these high schools, just like college. Which is unreal, you know. You know, when I grew up, I went to the high school that was closer to my house, you know, which was T.C. Williams. So, but in New York, it's a whole different ball game, you know. I mean, and I think, and I truly I like, and a lot of people, a lot of parents these days are homeschooling. I'm not a fan of homeschooling. Why? Because going to school, getting up, leaving your house, going somewhere to interact with other people your age is a good thing, I believe, my personal belief. Because when you're homeschool, you don't have the interaction that you would have if you're going to school. And kids, kids need social interaction.
That is true. That's why in the area that I live in, my mother, one of my family members, my sister, she did homeschool him. And he was participating in things that the other homeschool families would do. They'd go on trips, go to factories, go to the beach. They do learning field trips.
That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing.
And they interact with the only problem I really have with public schools is that here in Florida, I do not feel the testing is fair.
What do you mean by
testing? They had an FCAT here in Florida. Right. I don't know if it's still implemented here in Florida. I had read that they were changing it. I just never felt that it was fair. Because there are some kids who go more than others, and some of the questions on that paper are not fair. If you got a 15-year-old that's never been across seas, how are they going to answer 10 of those questions if they didn't get related?
You're absolutely right. You have, like, okay, for instance, living in New York, there are kids that, you know, Harlem used to be all black. Harlem is not all black anymore. But there were kids who lived, I've met kids who lived in Harlem and has never been below 125th Street. 125th Street, in New York, you got little sections, like above Leo, east on the east side, anywhere between up until 110th Street on the east side, from 100th Street to 110th Street, it used to be called Spanish Harlem. Anything across 110th Street to like 145th is considered Harlem, East and West. And I've met so many kids that's never been below 125th Street. Now, what's below 125th Street? It's all the places like the Met, the museums and galleries that these kids should experience. And you know, I always tell parents, when I was 16 by myself, my daughter, when she was 16, went abroad. And I always tell their parents, let your children experience other cultures because that gives them some worldly, learning about other people and not just about all us black people. There's more in the world but us black people. And we have to do our world consists of so many different types of people. And you need to relate to all those types of people. Now, how are you going to relate to those types of people? You have to go to you have to go out and get I know some of your listeners are gonna say, oh my goodness, why is he so down on black people? No, I'm black. Guys, don't. I'm a black man. You can find me at Greg Glasser on Facebook or any of my social media. But I told all my friends, blacks, red, black, white, or whatever, every year, black people go to the same place where they went before. Like, I'm going to Jamaica again this year. I'm going to this place. I'm going to that. Guess what? If you go to one place once, open up your mind and travel to other places.
Yes, broaden your mind. The way I used to do that is by reading books. I read Gone with the Wind, and I read the book of written by Mr. Alex Haley Root. I read Encyclopedias A to Z.
But you know what, Angela? I tell everybody
that was my
get a passport. Get a passport.
I should travel more.
It's cheaper to go to London right now than to go to California on an airplane if you're flying commercial.
Okay.
You can go right today if you wanted to go to London. You can buy airline tickets for less than $500 round trip. If you go from New York to L.A. right now, airline ticket is $765.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah,
you know.
I understand it.
You know, see, I tell everybody, I tell parents, get your kid a passport. So that's the first step, because there's no place that you can go in the world without having a passport. And we as Americans, just Americans, not just Black Americans, we are so behind in everything. You know, if you go to other places, other countries, I've been to a lot of countries. You go to other countries, your kids speak multiple language. You know, we can barely speak freaking English. You know, you need to teach our kids about other cultures, you know, Spanish. See, you speak Spanish, speak French, or whatever, so you can communicate with just about everybody. That's what I believe.
I understand. It all makes perfectly good sense. Everything you're saying does. We were talking about the educational system, and I was saying that some children, what I want to say, finish it up, saying that some children do not test well, it's not because they're dumb, not because they're stupid, they just do not test well when they're under pressure like that. But I agree with everything else you said about the visas and traveling. Just got one little thing about that.
Yeah.
A traveling man. here in the United States. Yeah, that. I know it passed for like, what, 3 months?
Yeah, 90 days, yeah. President, I don't even call him. I don't consider him a president. I call him 45. Now, you know, he is trying. He's a moron. I said it. He's a moron. I don't care about his policies. I care about that this man subscribes to white supremacy. That's what I don't like this man. He's a moron. He's a loser. It's not about Democrats. It's not about Republicans. It's about this guy is a straight idiot. And what he's trying to do is to destroy the legacy of Barack Obama.
Yes. He's being called for the FBI to investigate him. But what I believe that they should be concentrating on is just things like getting more American jobs from overseas.
But see, here's the problem with that, Angela. You have to understand, okay? As a man who owns his own business, okay, let's talk about one of the biggest industries America's ever had was car making. You know, for Detroit. Now, see, the average person that works on the assembly line in Detroit makes an average hourly wage between $25 and $30 an hour plus benefits. Okay, now, you know, plus you got a union to deal with. So now, if I'm the CEO of Ford Industries, now what I'm trying to do is provide jobs, but also cut my costs. Now, if I'm paying, why should I pay somebody $3 an hour that I can outsource wherever, say Mexico?
I understand what you say as a businessman, but what I see is not enough jobs. Not enough jobs. I'm sorry.
No, you're right.
Enough jobs. That's why I believe that is the problem, poverty. I do.
Poverty.
The pressure and stress of wanting respect and getting respect is human beings as black people, and also poverty, not enough decent paying jobs. I really believe that's why there's so much crime in certain communities. Not enough jobs. I don't really believe that it's because they don't have a passport. It's just not enough jobs.
Okay, but
there
are
not
Angela,
enough vegetable seeds.
Okay,
sir?
But let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this, though, Angela. Okay, you say there's not enough jobs, all right?
No.
And you think that the crime rate is up because there's lack of jobs. Now, I'm going to tell your listeners this. You know, jobs,
Create your own business. I do both. I had a gentleman on my show named Reginald. He has a magazine called Urban Spice. That was what he was saying a couple of years back when he was on my show. Entrepreneurship.
Right. You know
but
what?
If
because
you have both, he says everybody should have some type of business.
Right.
Everyone.
Because you know what?
Even if they're working a full-time job.
There's a problem with that. Owning your own business. Everyone doesn't aspire to own their own business. What everyone should aspire to is to insulate yourself and try to make yourself indispensable. Because, see, a job is nothing more than work. Okay, let me tell you why. Because let's think about the logic behind having a job. Now, people, the average person goes to work every day, do their job, and get a paycheck. Now, think about this. When you go to your job and do this job that you're paid to do, you're making them money, and they're giving you a paycheck. Now, let's think about this. So if you can do it for them, why can't you do it for yourself? Think about that.
Also, geographical areas do matter.
Absolutely.
If people live in places with 3 or 4 traffic lights, that means they're going to have to leave that area. And some people don't have families that want them to leave. They have parents who say, stay here and be with me. You know, you're just as good here, which is not true. In a lot of small town places here in the United States.
Yeah, and there's no industry in those small towns. You know,
right.
I mean, I lived in Fort Lauderdale for a year, and 5 years ago. And I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of Florida. Florida is probably the most racist state I've ever lived in. Living in New York, it's a little bit different than living anywhere else in the country. I hold my black people responsible for their own actions. Like, what was it? The name of the town in Missouri, where they did the rioting, the kid that got killed. What was the name of the town?
In Florida?
This was recently, where the kid got killed by the policeman. Michael Brown. What was the name of the town?
Michael Brown Jr. It was Ferguson. Ferguson, Missouri.
Okay. Let's talk about Ferguson for 1 second.
Okay.
Okay. You look at the population of Ferguson. Ferguson's African-American population. No, Ferguson, Missouri, population, 65% black people. But black people were not on the police department. Black people, there was no black mayor. There's no black police chief. See, and I tell people, you need to be part of your community, man, because if you got 63% African-American, there should be black people on the city council. There should be a black mayor. There should be a black police chief. There should be black. You should be all you when you register, you need to register to vote so you can be on the grand jury when the indictments come down against black people. But these
hold on. Let's back this up a little bit. Okay. We're supposed to be talking about your guests.
Right.
So let's
back we went on
that. Mr. Lavister, listen, racism. Now, there's still racism. And I know you've overcome all the odds. Okay, but there are cops who go around setting young black men and women up, putting guns and drugs on 14 and 15. So what do you tell them?
I know. Okay, see,
that when they can't vote, when they won't reinstate their rights.
Okay, but here's the thing. Okay, I know some of your listeners are going to think I'm crazy, okay? You live in a place like Ferguson, all right? And you're 14 or 15 years old.
And by the time they get 18,
they've already been violated. Yeah, it's already been. See, that's the way
they here in the areas where I live, about 10 years ago, it was like just before or right before Christmas, Thanksgiving, it would violate people a day or two before. See, that's mind control. That's mind control.
But here's the thing, too, Angela. It goes back to family, okay? It goes back to family. We need to sit down and talk to our kids and say, listen, first of all, and pull up your damn pants, okay? Walking around with your pants around your butt, that ain't cool. We have to teach our children. In order to be a success at anything, whether it's a debt service, whatever you want to be, you have to have some self-respect and some dignity. And I tell young black men all the time, listen, when you talk to somebody, look them in their eyes. When you shake their hand. And, I don't live in the Midwest. I don't even like the Midwest or the South or any of those places. And I know it's hard because, policemen are killing black people. Like, it's a war on black people. That's a fact. What we can do about it, what we can do about it is to teach our kids to be respectful. Okay, when a policeman stops you, and even as a 56-year-old man, I'm fortunate, knock on wood, I can count the times that policemen, I always tell my daughter all the time, when a policeman stops you, first you comply. You let him talk, and then if you have questions of why he stopped you, you ask that question. If you don't agree with it, that situation is not the time to deal with it. So you let that person, let that policeman speak his business, give your ticket, whatever, get his badge number, and deal with it later. When a policeman is out, win that battle. You can't win that right then and there. You can't win that right then and there. You have to comply and deal with it later. You see what I'm saying, Angela?
Yes, I understand that. You're completely right. We need to teach our children how to talk to the police, how to be respectful.
You said
it right
there.
Yeah,
thank you.
At 88, like you said, 60-year-old, 56-year-old, 40-year-old, 30-year-old, you still have to be respectful. Even if you're wrong.
You always,